This hour we're going to be in Romans 6. Romans 6, looking at verses 3 and 4 this morning. Now Paul, in Romans 6, has been addressing carnal man's objection to salvation by grace. Paul's proclaiming and declaring salvation by grace. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. He says there in Romans 6, 1 and 2, "What shall we say then?" And here's the objection. "Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound?" And he answers it, "God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein?" Now, Paul is speaking from a knowledge born of spiritual birth. It's born out of spiritual birth. He's spiritually alive. He has the Spirit of Christ, and so that's how he hears grace. He knows it's by the power and the authority and the work of the Spirit of Christ in us. Now, man-made religion, there's many religions. There's a lot of religion in the world, and man-made religion knows nothing about true righteousness. Right? We have our understanding of what we think righteousness is, what are good works and what pleases the Lord. But natural man doesn't know what pleases the Lord because he doesn't have the Spirit of Christ until the Lord gives him the Spirit of Christ. And so man-made religion is always looking at the outward appearance of things. Right? The Lord called them whitewashed sepulchres. That is graves, because inside they're full of dead men's bones. They look good on the outside, but within they're dead. And so Paul speaks of them as well, calling them those which glory in appearance, the outward show of religion. They glory in that, but not in heart. Not in heart. There's no effectual grace and faith in the heart given to them by the Lord. So Paul goes on now to declare that believers are united with Christ. We have a union with Christ, and that union is through spiritual baptism. Through spiritual baptism. Now, he does this while also denouncing, we shouldn't miss the fact that he is denouncing those who would boast of continuing in sin that grace may abound. All right, now, as we go through our study, when you look at Romans 6, I read the whole thing very carefully and looked it over, and Paul never, ever once has us look to the law of Moses for our righteousness. He never turns the believers to the law of Moses for righteousness, but like all the apostles, turns us continually to Christ, has us looking ever to the Lord Jesus Christ for righteousness. Now, what he does is he continues to lift up and exalt Christ crucified. And what we learn by the Spirit, what we see by the Spirit, is that we're constrained by Christ. We're constrained by his love in us. We're constrained by his power working in the believer who gives us a new heart and turns us to the Lord to want to follow him and to seek after him. And so it's because we're alive now by the Spirit, all right? And so having died with Christ when he was crucified, we are raised with Christ unto newness of life. And so we ever keep looking to Christ. Our title is Baptized into Christ. Baptized into Christ. And so I want to look at our baptism into his death and into his life. All right, we'll look at our baptism into Christ's death and life. So our text here deals with two baptisms. All right, one is a baptism by water. Look at the beginning of verse 3, Romans 6:3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ," there he's talking about our water baptism. Don't you know that there was a lot of us here? We were, and of us, there's many of us that were baptized into Christ, right, by water baptism, and that we that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, right? This is the other baptism he's talking about, that there's many of us, of all of us that are baptized, many of us were baptized into his death. That is the spiritual baptism with Christ. So let's just talk for a few minutes about baptism, all right? Because it'll begin to make this all a lot clearer what he's conveying to his hearers. What he's putting their minds on so that they would know that we have now, we that are in Christ, have a spiritual life whereby we walk in faith and obedience to him. He's the one teaching us. He's the one instructing us. He's called us. He's faithful to do the whole thing. That's really, in a nutshell, what he's saying. Christ is effectual in his people, okay? Now, after our Lord's resurrection, in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Matthew 28, our Lord comes to his disciples. This is after his crucifixion, and he's risen from the dead, and now he's about to go up to the Father, and he says to them, in verse 18, that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power means that Christ has all authority given to him by the Father. So that when you read in Revelation of the Lamb slain in the midst of the throne, and he takes the book out of the hand of the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne of God to judge the nations, when he takes that book out and he opens the seals, it means that he has authority and power now to implement the will of God in the earth, which he's doing even now. That's what he's saying here. All power. I have authority right now. I'm ruling and reigning. It's given to me in heaven and in earth. And he tells them in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, it's our Lord who sent his disciples out. He, by his authority, we now have authority to go out and to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that believe, he commands them to be baptized. Right? He's speaking of believers' baptism. That's what he's talking about, believers' baptism. He doesn't tell them, you just grab people that you want and just dunk them down in the water, whether they want to or not. No, he's talking about believers' baptism. Those that believe, baptize them in the water in the name of Christ. Now, that is, if you believe Christ, if you believe his word, if he is Lord and Savior, if he is the one who was sent of God to save his people, and it's not your righteousness, it's not your works of righteousness, but his righteousness that makes us clean. It's his righteousness that makes us fit to stand before God, and we are now alive in him. If you believe Christ, then be baptized. Be baptized. Come and be baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you were baptized, what the world calls baptism, if you were baptized as an infant, maybe you were sprinkled or dunked as an infant, that's not baptism. That's not baptism. You weren't a believer then. If you were baptized under a false gospel, right? If you didn't know the truth and you were under a false gospel, then come and be baptized, right? Come and be baptized. Or if you were baptized because it's some religious ceremony, right? Because it's a religious ceremony. If you were baptized because you think that in doing that right, in doing that step, is that God's going to confer or give you some grace for doing it, that, you know, that's why you were baptized, that's not baptism either, right? Much of the world does religious things because they think, well, God would be pleased with this, and that's going to earn me a couple of credits with the Lord, and, you know, it'll make him happy, and so I'll be baptized, and I'll do what this religion says, and I'll do what that religion says, and I just practice everything because they think that God is pleased with these various things. But whether you were baptized in that sense, which isn't baptism, that's not baptism. If you now believe, if you hear the gospel and you believe Christ, then come and be baptized. be baptized. Follow him in believers' baptism, because the Lord is the one that saves us out of dead letter religion. Right? Those things are dumb. Those things are worthless, and Christ saves us out of dead letter religion and calls us to follow him. And so the point being, obey your Lord and be baptized. Now, let's look at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. They're in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Here's a picture or a pattern of believers' baptism in Acts 8. And at the very end of verse 35, we're told that this occurred after Philip preached unto him Jesus. Right? So Philip, when Philip was preaching, just like all the apostles and the disciples in our Lord's day, they preached Christ. That's what we're to do. We're to preach Jesus Christ. And so he preached unto him Jesus. And after that, verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believed the gospel that Philip preached to him concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? This is, he heard. Remember, he was preaching from Isaiah. And he understood that that one that Isaiah spoke of hundreds of years beforehand, this all that word of prophecy was fulfilled in this Jesus of Nazareth, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who was sent by God to obtain eternal salvation for his people, to put away their sins. What Isaiah said and all the prophets, what they said, he believed him, and so he was baptized. You see that? He heard the word and was baptized because he believed Christ. This Jesus is the Christ, who you say he is. I believe him. I believe what the Lord has declared to us. And so this is important because we preach Jesus Christ. We declare Jesus Christ because that's what our Lord did. Our Lord declared himself. The apostles declared Jesus Christ. Turn over to Luke 24. Luke 24, and we see this. Luke 24, and go to verse 25. We read there, Luke 24, verse 25. Then Christ said unto them, these are the men on the road to Emmaus, he said, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What all did the prophets speak? Ought not Christ. See that there in verse 26? Ought not Christ. What did the prophets speak? Christ. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he's saying there the whole book, this whole book that we have here, given to us by the Lord, it wasn't given to make us good little boys and girls. It wasn't given to make us good little Pharisees to know how to live and be morally good citizens in this life, how to be productive people in this life. That's not why the book was given. It was given to show us Christ, to show us our need of Christ. That's what they're saying there. The whole thing was written to show us we're sinners, bankrupt sinners who cannot work righteousness for ourselves. But God has provided the righteousness that we need in his Son, Jesus Christ. The whole book declares to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to see his suffering. Meaning, why did Christ come? Why did he need to come? That's how awful, wicked, sinful, full of iniquity and darkness that we are, that we cannot save ourselves. So God provided salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died because of me to put away my sin on the cross under the just wrath of God. That's what it's declaring. It's showing us how sinful we are, how worthy of eternal wrath we are, because we're sinners, but that Christ put it away forever by himself. Right? All that, when we declare the cross, that's what we're saying. We're saying we can't do it. We can't save ourselves. But he is the very righteousness of God. It's really not any more complicated than that. And then verse 27 there, Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, anyone you want, the things concerning himself. All right? Now drop down to verse 44, Luke 24:44. He's still talking to these guys, and he says unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. That's the whole Old Testament. Every book, it's concerning Christ. And then, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Right, so that we see and know, like, that we must be born again. It's a spiritual work. We've got to be born again by the Lord, because otherwise we look at this and say, oh, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to tithe, I'm supposed to go here and do that and wear this kind of robe and do that. And that's all people see is different works that they're supposed to do, because they don't have the Spirit. They're just looking for ways to make themselves righteous before God, and they don't see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got to be born again, that we be delivered from the mist and darkness of fools who are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's how we are naturally. We're slow of heart to believe it. You know, our Lord, when he was speaking, stay there in Luke, but when he was speaking to the Jews, in another part, he told them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You think you open these things and get life, get some grace, get some guidance from the Lord on how you're supposed to live. But he tells them, they are they which testify of me. When we open these scriptures, we're looking at the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, not how I can improve my life and be a good little boy or girl before God so that he might give me eternal life. So he gives us understanding, and then he tells them, "But and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." Because that's the natural heart of man. We will not. We will to not believe him. We will not come to Christ. That's where we are until the Lord turns our heart and draws us to himself and to know him and to believe him, until he opens our understanding to understand the scriptures and to know what they're speaking of, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now verse 46. And he says unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. We're witnesses of these things. This is what we are called and sent of God to witness to those who the Lord brings to us, to witness of what Christ has accomplished for his people. We're to declare what he said, that Christ must suffer. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? We're declaring this because, again, it strips us down and shows us that all our works of religion and righteousness are filthy dung. They're filthy rags in his sight. They don't please him. They don't impress him. He's not looking to us for our works. He's looking to his Son, Jesus Christ, and declaring to us, that's where you and I are to look, to his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he's provided. That's our witness. And so it's the Lord who sent his Son to deliver us from the coming wrath of God, because all men are sinners, worthy of eternal death, but God has provided that salvation, deliverance from that wrath in his Son, Jesus Christ. All right? That's what we're declaring. Now, baptism is a picture of our union with Christ. It's a union in his death and a union in his life. So, water baptism doesn't save. Right? Water baptism does not save us any more than being baptized in water means that we're saved. Right? It doesn't even necessarily mean that we're saved, as Paul said. But what baptism is it's a public confession. You're confessing Christ. You're publicly confessing Christ, that he's my Lord and my Savior. He's my righteousness. I have no hope in myself. I have no confidence in this flesh, but I believe him. I believe him, right? It's not that we're deciding whether we're the elect or not. Do you believe? Do you believe him? Do you trust him? If you trust him, then follow his word. Honor his word. Be baptized. He's the one who calls us to it. It's a public confession that, Lord, I need you. I have no other hope but you, Lord. And so what we're dead to is we're dead to the law of Moses. We're dead to the body of sin in Christ. It's as what Paul said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. All right, now Paul says in verse 3, he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, he's not saying there's some there that are the church that aren't baptized, and then some that are baptized. That's not what he's saying, but he's concluding here that there are some there that were baptized that don't believe, that don't believe Christ. He's not all their confidence. He's not all their righteousness. He's not all their hope, right? But they did it as a religious rite, right? They call them rites of passages, I think some religious institutes refer to them as different things that we're supposed to do in this life to obtain grace and favor of God so that when we die, we stand before him and are accepted of him. But that's not what the scriptures teach at all. They teach Christ. They preach that Christ is our righteousness and salvation. And so some were there that didn't understand. They didn't hear with the ear of faith. They looked at it and trusted that work. They were trusting in that work of being baptized. And therefore, it was no wonder that when they came up out of the waters, they came up spiritually dead as they were when they went into the water. There's just nothing, because it doesn't provide any grace. It doesn't impart any special favor to us by doing it. And as an example, I should have told you to stay in Acts 8, but in Acts 8, if you drop down to verse 18, or go up to verse 18, that's where it's speaking of Simon the sorcerer. And he's an example of those who were baptized that don't believe. They didn't believe Christ. And so he was baptized. He heard what everybody else heard in with the ear of flesh. And he was baptized like everyone else. And he was a sorcerer. He had bewitched them. And he was impressed with what he was seeing when the apostles came down to see what the Lord was doing in Samaria there. And it says in Acts 8:18, when Simon saw, this is Simon the sorcerer, when he saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He offered money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Right? The emphasis being on purchased, earned, obtained by something we do. Right? Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. Right? Repent of your dead letter, ritualistic services that you do to earn and obtain God's favor, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So what we see here, the point I'm making is that there's many in many different places that are just like Simon the sorcerer. They're trying to purchase, to earn some favor with the Lord, right? They think that the gift of God, his eternal salvation, is something that they can purchase, right? Whether it's their giving of money, or their giving of time to the church, or they're working their good works, or doing these little rituals, right? And doing these things. They think that by these things, they obtain the gift of the Lord. So they're all forms of purchasing, right? It doesn't have to be money like Simon. Anything that we do that we think earns us favor with God is trying to purchase the gift of God by something that we've done. And so there's many forms of dead letter religion out there, and Simon did a religious thing. He was baptized, and it did nothing for him. He went into the waters, he came out of the waters, and was filthy in sin, right? He had no power or authority with God. But Peter said to him, "You're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." So what it is that it doesn't matter whether you've made a profession of Christ and you've been baptized. Paul is saying there's some that are still living in the flesh. You know, they go into the waters, they come up, and they still go out and they fornicate and get drunk and just do whatever, you know, they want to do, just living in the flesh. And then there's others that go in and come up out of the waters, and they do all kinds of religious things, thinking that these are the things that save them. It's just one of many ritualistic things that they think they're supposed to do to please God. But this is the very repentance that we're to turn from. Turn from these thinking that it's by my religious works, my dead religious works, to save me. Turn from that and hear what he's saying. Look to Christ, believe him. That's the repentance that we're to declare in the name of Christ. We preach Christ, we declare that he was crucified for his people because we're filthy sinners, unable to work a righteousness for ourselves. He obtained it. Look to him. Stop trusting your dead works and trust the living God. Trust him that he has saved his people by the death of himself. That's the repentance that should be preached in his name among all nations, and ye are witnesses of these things. These things, right? We declare these. You know, you think about the Pharisees. They were zealous, so zealous that they crucified the Lord of glory in their self-righteous zeal, right? And so we're to turn from our dead works of religion that cannot save us and don't reveal the truth to us. Now, Paul was speaking to the Romans about the Jews, and he says, "He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So, not in the letter of Moses, right? The law of Moses, not in the letter of religion, and what religion tells you to do. But we're to look to Christ. It's a spiritual work. And religious men get angry with that. They hate that message. They don't like the message of grace, and so they find every reason to knock it down and to make excuses of why they have a right to continue in dead letter religion and just doing what they think is right and acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. But the Lord doesn't let us glory in anything that we do. He doesn't let us glory in those things. So Christ sent us to preach this word, to preach Christ, to preach his grace and his mercy and his salvation, right? We're told in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:6, that Christ also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, right? The word written in his blood, not in the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, right? Whether it's the letter of Moses or it's the letter of religion, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so as long as we think our religious services sanctify us or improve us, we'll be among those who use all manner of forms and things to purchase the gift of God, all right? And so we've got to be born again. We've got to hear what the Lord is saying. We need his Spirit to teach us so that we stop trusting in these things and what we can do, and we trust alone in the Lord. Just like Paul. Paul had a lot of religious things behind him. He had a lot of credentials, religious credentials that he could have trusted in, but he said they're all dung. I was a Jew, born out, circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He did all those things. He was a student of the law, but he said they're all dung and don't do anything for us. So we must be born again by his Spirit, looking to the crucified Savior, trusting that he's our righteousness. All right, now, Our Lord said that repentance, right, that which we just spoke of, is to be preached, and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. You're witnesses of these things. And that's what the apostles declare to us, right? Peter, when speaking to Cornelius, said, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. That's all he said, whosoever believeth on him. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said, right? We look, I know in religion we hear so many things, right? We've been told you got to do this, this has to be in place, this has to be solid and settled here for you, and you've got to do all these various things and meet these check boxes before you can believe Christ and rest in him. But Paul even said it the same way. He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart, and even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Do you believe? Do you believe the Lord that the apostle, that the prophets have said, all that believe on him shall receive remission of sins? They put no other qualification. And believing isn't your work. It's what it is. It's a testimony that the Spirit has given you that. That he's shown you your need. That you have no other righteousness. He's turned you from dead letter works and from trusting in those things that the world trusts in, and shows you your need of Christ. Why he suffered. Because I'm a filthy sinner, unable to save myself. And he did this work. Therefore, because the Lord did this, right, and because he's put this faith in our hearts, whereby we believe, there's nothing special about us. It's pretty simple, really. It's pretty basic. There's nothing to glory in. All we know is that in my heart, the Lord has shown me my need of the Savior, and that he is the Savior. He is sufficient. And I believe, Lord, I believe him. Then go be baptized. Be baptized. Therefore, because we have faith in Christ, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Right? We go into the water baptism as he commanded us. Nothing special, not trusting in it, but because he said, go and do it. You that believe, go and be baptized, believing that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Believe him, and walk by the Spirit. Because we know there ain't nothing special about us. There's nothing good about us. We know this flesh. We know how it works and how it acts and what it does. We know it's filthy. It ain't changed yet. But we believe that we shall be raised up in that day. And until that day, we walk by the Spirit, looking to Christ, trusting him, believing him. Not trying to go on back to the world and live like the world. Not that we're living perfect, but we don't trust in those things. And we know that we can't look to Moses, because he hasn't helped anybody either. All he does is just show us what a sinner I am. So we're ever looking to Christ, ever continuing in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we stop acting like Simons of the world, right? Looking for some way to purchase favor with God, whether it's money, time, or works. And we seek the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Keep teaching me. Keep drawing me. Please don't let me go. Keep turning me to you, Lord. Continually looking to him, right? So that by his Spirit we have a living, spiritual, vital union with Christ. And that's how we walk, is in him. John, the Apostle John, says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And that's how we believe, and that's how we walk in newness of life, by his Spirit. Just trust him. If you read the rest of Romans 6 today, when you get home, read it. He never, ever, ever, ever turns you to the law. In fact, he says, we're not under the law. Always being turned to Christ. And that's what he's saying. We have a union with Christ now. We were baptized, and those of us that were baptized believing, we're baptized spiritually in him. We've been raised with him, so we walk looking to him, trusting him that he keeps us and purifies us as is necessary, as he's using us and teaching us. So in our conversion, the Lord converting us, we're drawn to him, we're drawn to Christ. We die to self. He's growing us. He's teaching us. He's the one separating us from the things that he will have us to let go. I can't enumerate them for you because the Lord knows, and he's the one who's teaching you. If I tell you to go do something, if you're unsettled and not looking to Christ, you'll do it because you think, oh, well, that's my life. No. Keep looking to Christ. We keep preaching Christ because he's the one that saves us. So all that hear this, they seek God. They continue to seek God for his salvation in Christ by the Spirit and not the flesh, where so many perish in iniquity, whether it's iniquity of the lust of the flesh or it's iniquity of religious things. But the Lord delivers us from that. So if you've never been baptized, right? If you were baptized as a baby or under a false gospel or once did it as a religious ceremony, don't trust in that. But if you believe Christ now, if you know him, if you believe in your heart, not that you're special or see the things that you think that you should see, but if you believe him, then come be baptized, trusting him. Trust him. Believe him. So I pray the Lord will bless that to your hearts. All right, I'm not going to walk. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, and I'll close this in prayer, and then you can post that, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. All right, let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your grace, Lord, that breaks through the death and the darkness of us natural sinners in Adam, Lord, who have nothing to boast in. Lord, you know what we are. You know how weak we are. And Lord, we ask that you would be merciful to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen.